One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'll probably get this on my tombstone when I die, is where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's not a one of us in here that deserved to be in here. There's not a one of us. But for some reason, grace. When we don't deserve it, grace still comes down. And I sure am thankful for God's amazing grace that He gives to us when we don't deserve it. That's the kind of God He is. And I sure am thankful for it. How many of you enjoyed the singing? Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And find your place in chapter number 6. Gospel of John, chapter number 6. As you can see on the screen, we'll be talking about the saying that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And it kind of goes along with what we're doing today after the invitation. We'll be taking our Lord's Supper today, and it's a privilege to be able to do something that symbolizes the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I told him on Wednesday that there's a lot of churches going around today that have just wiped out the Lord's Supper, but I sure am thankful that we're still a church that does it, because it's something that God commanded us to do. He told us to do it, and it's something that helps us to remember exactly what He did for us. John 6, find your place in verse number 25. That's where we'll start reading today. Verse number 25 of John 6 says this. It says, and when they found Him, that's Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest Thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And what He's talking about is this is just right after He fed 5,000 with those five loaves and two fishes. In verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. And they said therefore unto Him, what sign showest Thou then that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth to Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. I skip down to verse 41. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now go down to verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man that may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You so much that You're in this place today. God, as we've sung about Your blood and about Your grace, God, I pray that You've been uplifted. And Lord, I pray that as we open up the Word of God, it's not a word that's useless, it's not a word that's not relevant, but it's a word that's powerful. It's a word that changes our lives every single day. It's a word that makes wise unto salvation. It's a word that still has the power to do what no man can do today. So God, I pray that the quick and powerful Word of God will be alive today in our hearts. And God, I pray that You'll bind every evil spirit in this place today, that the Word of God will be able to reach our hearts and bring forth fruit in our lives today. And God, I pray for that one person that may be in here today that's never received the bread of life, that's never received Jesus. I pray that they would today before it's too late. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And I pray today, God, that You'll use us to accomplish Your will. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you find your place in verse number 30, that's where we'll start our places today. They come to Jesus, and these Jews, they look at Him and they say, "What sign do You show us that we may believe You?" Now, for those of you that were here last week, we talked about how Jewish people constantly want a sign to believe in God. In other words, they don't want to believe by faith, they want to believe by sight. So they look at Jesus and say, "Why don't You show us a sign that we may believe You are who You say You are?" And what's funny about that is about 12 hours earlier, Jesus was up on top of the mountain with all of His disciples and 5,000 men, and they were hungry. And Andrew walks up to him and says, "Hey, we ain't got but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are we going to feed these people?" And Jesus says, "Just give them to Me." And Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds 5,000 men, the Bible says. That's not counting women and children. So we're talking at least 8,000 to 10,000 people were fed just with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I sure am thankful that when we have little and you put it in Jesus' hands, He can make much into it. That's exactly what He did about 12 hours earlier. And now they're coming, the same people that saw this are now coming to Jesus and say, "Show us a sign that You are who You say You are." And I can imagine Jesus saying, "You got to be kidding me. One of the greatest signs I can show you, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I fed about 8,000 people. And You saying, show me a sign?" But that night, He walked on the water to His disciples. That was their sign right there. He comes over to Capernaum. And the Bible says when He preaches this sermon to them in John chapter 6, that He's standing in the synagogue in Capernaum. And that's cool to me because I actually got to stand in this synagogue that Jesus preached this sermon about 2 years ago when I went over to Israel. But He's preaching this sermon here, and they're saying, "Show us a sign." So what Jesus is going to do, instead of showing them a physical sign, He's going to preach something to them that's very relevant to them, to where they can understand exactly what He's saying. He's talking here mostly to Jewish people. And Jewish people today and Jewish people 2,000 years ago, most of them worshipped at the feet of Moses. Everybody's heard of Moses. Moses was the one who gave them the Ten Commandments. Moses the one that gave them the law. Moses was the one that apparently split the Red Sea. Moses was the one that apparently here gave them bread down from heaven. So they're all coming to Moses and they're worshiping Moses. And what they say here in verse 31, they're saying, "Hey, show us a sign." And then verse 31 says, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven." They're saying, "Hey, we know Moses is who he said he was because he gave us manna from heaven. Now you show us something to show us who you are." In other words, we believe Moses because he gave us manna. What are you going to give us so that we might believe you? And Jesus comes back to him in verse 32 with two things. He says, number one, Moses didn't give you that manna from heaven. God gave you that manna from heaven. Number two, that manna was just a picture of somebody that was about to come. In other words, that manna was just a picture of Me. So what's that mean? All throughout the Old Testament, you find pictures, types, symbols, foreshadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that lamb that was slain on the first Passover? They took its blood, put it on the doorpost, and whoever was on the inside of that blood were saved? That is obviously a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years later, there was a serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness on a wooden piece of wood. And the Bible says that if they looked at that serpent that was lifted up, the people lived. That is obviously a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up on a cross of wood, that when you look at Him and believe, you and I live. Every single day, offerings, morning and evening, were slain. Lambs were killed. Blood was shed so that the people might be covered from their sin. That is obviously a picture of the one who was to come, the Lord Jesus. So all throughout the Old Testament, you've got these products that are a picture of the person that is to come. And what Jesus is saying here is this manna that you received from heaven in the wilderness for 40 years was nothing but a picture of Me. And you know what the Bible calls it? It calls it a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come. What's a shadow? A shadow is just a reflection of a person, isn't it? A shadow is not the real thing. You can't touch the shadow. You can't feel the shadow. But when you look close to that shadow, there's a person. And that shadow is just a reflection of that person. And what Jesus is saying and what the Bible tells us is these shadows in the Old Testament, this manna was just reflecting a person. You see, in the Old Testament, there were products. But when the New Testament came along, all them products were wrapped up into one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we worship Him. We don't worship these symbols. We don't worship these products in the Old Testament. We worship the one who those were the shadows of that person. Now, let me ask you something. What makes us Christians? If I were to put that on Facebook today, what makes us Christians? I'd get 2 million different answers. By the way, when it tells you on Facebook, what are you thinking? Don't put what are you thinking or what's on your mind. There's a lot on there. But what makes us Christians? The number one answer you would find is that we follow the teachings of Christ. Does that make us Christians? There's a lot of people that follow love your brother, love your neighbor. They're not Christians. Is it following the law, doing all the things that Christ said to do? That doesn't make us Christians. You know what Christianity is? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a person. That's the greatest thing I've ever learned, Brother Johnny. When I found out that Christianity was not a list of thou shalt and thou shalt not, but Christianity was all wrapped up in a person that was right in the middle. And when you figure that out, you'll be set free. That Christianity is not do this and don't do this. Go to church, don't drink. Go to church, don't do all this stuff. It's none of that. Christianity is all wrapped up in that one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I do not know in what I have believed. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. We don't believe in a church. I don't believe in a book. I don't believe in all these things. I believe in a person. Because a person's going to take me to heaven. A person makes me a Christian. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes Christianity so good. It's a person. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not rules. It's that person. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, that bread that came down from heaven was just a shadow of Me. And then we get into it. He says, I am that bread of life. We'll get into that here in a minute. But today as we take the Lord's Supper, obviously the bread that we break and we pass around, it's a symbol of the body of Christ. And what we have here in John chapter number 6, I'm not sure if he's referring to the Lord's Supper, but it sure sounds like he is before he administered it the night before his death. But I want to show you just a few things today, how Jesus compares to this manna in the wilderness. I want to show you that first. But then lastly, I want to show you how Jesus is greater than this manna that was given in the wilderness. So in order to understand how Jesus compares to the manna, we've got to understand what was manna anyway. So in Exodus chapter number 16, I think I have the verses up here. Israel had just been set free from Egyptian bondage. They just walked right through the middle of the Red Sea and they've come out into the wilderness. It's been a few weeks and they've walked around and they can't find any food. And the Bible says, just like you and me, they start to complain. And the Bible says this, God's going to give them something. He says, in the morning when the dew lays around about the host and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Do you know what the word manna means? What is it? That's exactly what the word manna means. What is it? Because they looked at it and said, what in the world is that? All right? And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. In other words, every single morning when you wake up the next 40 years, there's going to be bread on the ground for you to eat provided by God. And we're going to call it manna. Now what's interesting is some people have actually found a picture of what this manna looks like. So let me show you what it looks like. Oh my good! How'd that get on there? Krispy Kreme donuts. Not only praise God for Chick-fil-A, but praise God for Krispy Kreme. Amen. We got to stop looking at that. Y'all don't start lusting after it. Krispy Kreme. Amen. I can't wait to get to heaven. Y'all can tell since I got married, I've been eating Krispy Kreme a lot. I can't wait to get to heaven. And we're going to have some donuts. And you ain't going to gain any weight. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's get back into it. All right. So what was manna? It was a small round thing. And the Bible says in one place that there was honey over it. Another word for glaze, whatever. You take it as you want. I take it as Krispy Kreme. All right. All right, what was manna? Number one, I want you to see how it compares to Christ and that it was a precious gift. It was a precious gift. And that verse that I just showed you, the last verse, said, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." When the Lord gives you something, that means it's a gift. And the Lord gave them this manna. Every single morning they woke up, they would find that this manna was laying on the ground for them. Now in the evening, the Bible says that there was going to be quail that flew in that God supernaturally provided to bring to them so that they might eat that in the evening. But this manna was different. This bread was different that God gave to the children of Israel. It didn't come from the ground. It didn't come from the animals. It didn't come from the plants. It didn't even come from the ladies who were in the camp that cooked it. This manna was different because this manna dropped down directly from heaven. The Bible says even in Psalm 78, verse 25, He calls manna angels' food because that's what the angels were up in heaven. And literally the manna came directly down from heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd call that a gift. In other words, they didn't have to go buy it. They didn't have to go search for it. They didn't have to do anything to receive it. All they had to do was wake up and go get it. That's called a gift. You say, how does that compare to Christ? I'm glad you asked. Because one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He," what? "Gave His only begotten Son." The Bible says in the book of James, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father." Jesus is the good and the perfect gift that came down from the Father. The greatest gift that's ever been given was the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this manna came directly from heaven. Well, where did Jesus come from? Directly from heaven. Look at these verses here. Look at verse 38. Because He's going to tell them this over and over and over again. Now I have it highlighted in my Bible. Verse 38. "For I came down from heaven." Look at verse 50. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven." Verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Verse 58. "This is that bread which came down from heaven." Jesus obviously wants the Jewish people to know He came down from heaven. And there was one thing that they could not stand. That saying right there, Brother Johnny. Look at verse 41. "The Jews looked at Him and murmured. And they said, 'How can you say, I am the bread which came down from heaven? Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?'" They're looking at Jesus and they're saying, "Look at you. You look exactly like us. You're a mere man and you're saying you came down from heaven? No. I know your father, the carpenter, Joseph. I know your mother, Mary. You came directly from them. You didn't come from heaven." But we know differently, don't we? Jesus did not come from Nazareth. Jesus didn't come from Galilee. Jesus didn't come from Bethlehem. Jesus came directly from heaven, and that's what makes Christmas so good. And He didn't come from any of those places. He came from heaven. Now, your local Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, yeah, He came from heaven, but He was created in the heavens. Can I tell you, Jesus was not created. He was the Creator. He wasn't created in the heavens. He was the one that actually created the heavens. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's Jesus. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That's what makes Christmas so good, is the Creator of this whole entire world stepped down from His throne in heaven and came down and took up a body on earth. He came from heaven. Over and over in John's gospel, he is trying to tell us that Jesus is not just a mere man. He is the Son of the living God. And do you realize something? John's gospel doesn't start in Bethlehem. John doesn't even tell the story of Bethlehem. John's gospel starts in the beginning. You say, where's that? That's not in Genesis 1-1. That's before Genesis 1-1. That's where he starts. Because he's trying to show his people, this man Jesus, he didn't come from Bethlehem. He came from heaven. And Jesus does something so clever in John's gospel. He says 7 times the words, I am. 7 times. The only time this is recorded in the whole Bible, in the whole Gospels, Jesus says the words 7 times, I am, and then he names something that he is. You say, what's so special about that? Because they know exactly what he's doing. Because remember, they worshiped at the feet of Moses. Remember Moses was at the burning bush? God said, go set my people free. Moses said, fine. But when I go and they ask me, what's your name? What am I going to tell them? God said, tell them I am that I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am, I always have been, and I always will be. I am the great I am. And Jesus comes 7 times and says, I am. And this is the first time he says it in John's Gospel, chapter number 6. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Remember I told you that all these products in the Old Testament became a person? In the Old Testament, they had a bread that fed them every single day in the wilderness. Jesus says, I am that bread that fed you. In the Old Testament, they had a light that led them in the Old Testament that led them to the place that they were supposed to go. Well, Jesus says, I am that light of the world. In the Old Testament, they had a door to which they could enter in that they might be safe from all harm. Jesus says, I am that door that if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. In the Old Testament, they had a shepherd that was supposed to lead them, to feed them, to give them everything that they needed. Jesus said, I am that good shepherd. In the Old Testament, there was a way to which they could follow that led to life. Jesus said, I am that way that you follow that leads to life. In the Old Testament, they had a vine that fed them, that nourished them, that gave them everything that they needed. And Jesus said, I am that vine. Amen. All those things in the Old Testament, when the New Testament came along, Jesus said, I am those things. I'm the manifestation of all those things that they had. I'm the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. That's my favorite one. Amen. So Jesus, 7 times in John's gospel, by the way, 7 is the number of completion. God completed the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Jesus had 7 sayings on the cross. Jesus has 7 I am statements in the book of John. 7 all throughout the Bible is the number of it is finished. It's done. It's completed. But number one, I want you to see that this manna was a precious gift. And it came directly from heaven. And Jesus is the most precious gift that God's ever given. I was thinking, last year Christmas snuck up on me. So it's already July pretty much. I'm already trying to start to plan for Christmas. Because it'll be here just like that. And I've been reading the Gospels about the birth of Christ here lately. And I got to thinking about Mary. She went through a lot to be pregnant with the Lord Jesus. She went through a lot of scrutiny, a lot of persecution, all this stuff. But you know, I can imagine that when Jesus was born and he was just a little baby, and when she would show Jesus to other people, I believe that this is the first thing she would say. He's my little gift from God. He's my gift from God. You say, what's a gift? Something that you don't ask for. Something that you don't deserve. Something that you didn't pay for. What did Mary do to receive Jesus into her womb physically? Did she do anything? Absolutely nothing. The Holy Spirit said, there you go. And he put Jesus into her womb. And it got me to thinking. You know, Jesus lives on the inside of us spiritually. What did I do to receive Jesus? Did I do anything? No. God put Jesus in me and God put me in Jesus. That's it. The only thing that I do is say, I believe you, Jesus. I receive you, and God put him on the inside of me. You know what that's called? A gift. I've received a lot of good gifts in my life, but the greatest gift I've ever received is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He lives on the inside of us today. Number one, I want you to see that this manna is a precious gift. Number two, I want you to see that it was a provision from God. It was a provision from God. Now, Israel had been walking around the desert or the wilderness for 2 to 3 weeks now since they got out of Egypt. They couldn't find any food. I don't know if any of you have been to the desert lately. I hadn't. I imagine it's hard to find food. And that's what they're going through. Now they're looking at Moses saying, "What are you doing? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We had 2 to 3 meals a day back there. Now you've brought us out here to follow God and we ain't even got any food." And Moses said, "Just hold on." And he calls out to God and God says, "This is what I'm going to do. Every morning I'll rain down manna from heaven so that you might eat." And that's exactly what He did. Can I tell you, God did not look at the children of Israel and say, "Once you stop complaining, I'll give you this manna." God didn't look at the children of Israel and say, "Once you start acting right, I'll give you this manna." God did not look at the children of Israel and say, "Once you start doing right, once you start following Me, once you start doing all this stuff, I'll give you this manna." But He said, right in the middle of your complaining, right in the middle of your sin, right in the middle of who you are, I will send down this manna from heaven just because you need it. And I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful God looked at you and me and said, and did not say, "Start acting right, then I'll send My Son. Start doing right, and I'll send My Son. Stop complaining, and I'll send My Son. Start looking, and you'll find Him." But He said, "While you are yet sinners, I will send My Son from heaven." Why? Just because you need Him. That's the kind of God that we serve. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to become good people. He didn't wait for us to become worthy. And I sure am thankful for that because that had never happened. But He said, while you are who you are, while you are sinners, while you don't deserve it, I'll lay down My life for you. Why? Because you need it. They needed this bread and God said, "I'll give it to you." And you know what? We needed salvation and God said, "I'll give Him to you." And that's exactly what He did. He's a precious gift. He's a provision from God. But number three, I want you to see that this manna was also a perpetual need. The word perpetual means enduring, everlasting, never ending. This manna was a perpetual need. How often did the children of Israel need to eat? Let me ask you this question. How often do you and I need to eat? I don't know about you, every single day. Probably 3 to 4 times a day. That's how often we eat. They didn't need it once a week. They didn't need it twice a week. They needed it daily. And you know what God did? He gave them this manna daily. Except on Saturday. God came on Friday and said, "I'll give you enough for 2 days because I'm not going to give you any on the Sabbath. So you bear enough for Friday and Saturday and I'll be back on Sunday and give you some bread." But every single day, God gave them this manna. Why? Because they needed it to stay strong. Think about that. I don't know about you, but if I don't eat in like 12 hours, my head starts hurting. If I don't eat in a long time, my body starts getting weak. I can't stand not to eat. If I don't eat in like 12 hours, I act like I'm a kid over in the Middle East that hadn't ate in 72 years. I'm starving! And that's what's going on here. They're starving. And God says, "Well, I'll give you manna to eat daily." Now, but think about this. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, God said, "I'll give you enough to only last one day." He said, on Monday, He could have said, "I'll give you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's worth of bread." But on Monday, He said, "I'm going to give you enough for Monday. Tuesday, I'll give you enough for Tuesday." In other words, every single day they had to come back for more bread because God only provided for that day. I want you to think about this. When you and I don't eat, we get weak. When you and I don't eat real food, we get weak. Do you want to know why there's so many weak Christians around today? Because they fail to go to the Lord Jesus every single day. I don't know about you. I told you earlier, I need food every single day. But I don't know about you. I need Jesus every single day too. And the reason there's so many weak and downward Christians walking around today is because we fail to take in the bread of life every single day. If I only ate Chick-fil-A on Monday and Wednesday and ate nothing else the rest of the week, I'd be weak as could be. And we cannot rely on Sunday service and Wednesday service to get enough of Jesus for the whole week. We need Him every single day. You say, well, how do I get Him? You know what the Bible says about this Bible? It says it's meat. It says it's bread. It says it's milk. It says it's steak. You know, when we get weak spiritually, you know what we need? This Bible. We cannot be the strong Christians that God wants us to be with a closed Bible every day. You and I, the most amazing privilege that you and I have as Christians is to get in the Word of God, learn about God, and then go to God in prayer. If we're not reading our Bible and praying, we're not going to grow as Christians. See, this manna was a perpetual need. They needed it daily. And for you that go out into this world and have a job Monday through Friday and endure all the fighting, all the suffering, all the temptations, all the trials, you will be weak as can be unless you go to this Bible. This Bible and Jesus, the bread of life, is a perpetual need for you and me. God said to meditate on it. He said meditate on it daily. And that's what you and I need to do, is to take the Word of God and meditate on it daily, that we might grow in our relationship with Him. That's how Jesus is compared to the manna. They're both precious gifts. They're both provided by God, and they're both perpetual needs for you and I daily. Now I'm almost done, and I'm going to give you now how Jesus is greater than that manna. That's how Jesus compares. I want to show you how Jesus is greater than that manna. Number one, He's greater because He's living bread. He's living bread. Look at verse 48. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. And then look at verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. In other words, this manna, they ate it for 40 straight years every single day. And guess what happened to them? They still died. In other words, this manna was not good enough to take them to God. This manna was not powerful enough to reconcile them to God. This manna was not living enough to make them alive. They ate that manna and they still died. But Jesus says in that next verse, He said, but I am that bread which came down from heaven, that if a man may eat thereof, he will not die. In other words, you believe in Me, you receive Me, you'll never die. He said the same thing standing at Lazarus' tomb. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in Me, you will never die. And then He walked in the tomb and said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to get Him right back up. You say, hold on. My husband, my wife, my children, my grandchildren have believed in Jesus, and yet they've died. Let me tell you something. They hadn't died. They're more alive than they've ever been. Billy Graham said, you're going to hear one day that I died. He said, don't you ever believe a word of it, because I'll just be more alive than I've ever been. I've just changed addresses. When you believe in Jesus, the Bible says you never die. Death's not something that's scary to the Christian. Death's something that's real good to the Christian. Because we go directly into the presence of God to be with the One who lives on the inside of us. That's death for the Christian. Jesus said, you eat of this living bread, that manna will kill you, but the bread that I give, which is Me, will bring you life. It's a living bread. But lastly, I want to show you that not only is it a living bread, but it's a giving bread. It's a giving bread. Look at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. How long is forever? Forever. That means you'll never die. And then look what He said. What is this bread? The bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, in heaven, before Bethlehem, Jesus didn't have a body. Jesus was a spirit. The Bible says when He came down from heaven, He took up a human body and became a man. And He didn't come to take a crown and tell everybody else what to do. He came and said, that body that I received, I'm going to lay it down. Because I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. And even this body is going to serve. And I will lay it down because the laying down of my body brings the life of the world. And today as we are about to take the Lord's Supper, as that bread gets passed around, it symbolizes the broken body that Christ gave for us. It's not broken bones. The Bible says not one bone in His body was broken, but His body was. They broke His body. They tore His body. They nailed through His body. And He said, "It's bread, my flesh." Now listen to what one man said concerning what real bread is. He said, "Bread is the product of the earth. It's planted in the ground. It grows for a time. It's cut down. It's ground to powder under the crushing weight of the millstones. It is shaped by the baker's skillful hands and then put in the hot oven before it can come out to be food." In other words, before your bread can come out and be food, it's got to be crushed and it's got to be put in the hot oven in order to come out. And then He said this. He said, "Jesus lived among men for a time. He was cut down. He was ground beneath the crushing weight of agony in Gethsemane, and He was subject to the fierce heat of God's wrath against sin on the cross. And through that process of being crushed, through that process of being heated up, Jesus came out as the living bread." I sure am thankful for that. But I sure am thankful for what took place next. Sometimes when you put bread in the oven, sometimes it's flat, isn't it? But what happens when the heat gets to it? It starts just to rise. See, when they put Jesus on the cross, they expected that will be the end of Him. We'll lay Jesus in this tomb, and that'll be it. But little did they know when they put Jesus on the cross and then laid Him in that borrowed tomb that they just set Him up to rise again. And He rose. And then He came out as the bread of life. And He says, "If any man will come to Me, he will never, ever hunger again." He said the same thing to that woman at the well. He said, "You come to Me, I'm the living water. This water will kill you, but this water that I will give you life." And He's saying the same thing. He's saying, "That manna will kill you, but the bread that I will give, which is Me, will bring you life." Trying to tell you, all this stuff is not in a product, it's not in a piece of bread, it's in a person. We come to church not to follow a system, not to follow rules, not to follow this and that. We come to church because there's a person who laid down His life for us, who rose again from the dead for us, and who now seats at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. It's a person. It's not bread, it's a person. And I want you to think about this. Miss Nan, come up and play something softly for you. Musicians, you can come up. I want you to think about this, as just in a few minutes we're going to administer the Lord's Supper as we do a few times a year. I want you to think about when these plates, they get passed around to your pew. What's going on today is that it's going to get passed around. You say, "Who can take it?" Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can take it. And what you do when that plate gets passed around is you pick it up and you receive it into your body. That's a symbol of what we did when we got born again. Somebody came by your way and said, "What have you done with Jesus?" And I looked at that lady who said that to me, and I said, "I don't know, but I want Him today." And I got Him, and I received Him into my life. Let me ask you something. Has there ever been a day to where somebody walked by your way and said, "What are you going to do with Jesus?" It's not following our parents' rules. It's not following the church's rules. It's not doing any of those things. It's looking at Jesus and say, "What am I going to do with You?" Because you can either pick Him up and receive Him or let Him go passing by to the next person. And today, I've come to pass by your way and say, if you want Jesus today, He said, "You come to Me and I will in no wise turn you away." And the Bible says if you've never received Jesus, you're not saved. And that is a bad place to be in the society that we live, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. If you've never received Jesus, let today be the day where you say, I want Him. Because He's passing by. And don't let Him keep on passing by. Take Him and receive Him. Father, we praise You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the bread that You gave for us, that we might have life today. And God, I pray that just in a few minutes as we take the Lord's Supper, I pray that You'll help us to remember that bread. The only reason we have life today is because of that body that was laid down and because of that body that rose from the dead. So God, help us today to be more in tune to who You are and really realize the love that You have for us and what You did for us. And God, I pray for that person that may have never received You. I pray they'll come down today and receive You as Lord and Savior. And Lord, I thank You for that day that You saved me. I'll never get over it. And thank You for living on the inside of me today, not by works that I've done, but by Your mercy have You saved us. And Lord, we do love You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you